Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
It's another magnificent day here in Connecticut, and I am so honored to be on this broadcast with you again. Happy Wednesday, everyone, regardless of where you are listening from. And I'm telling you, we have an amazing show that is lined up for you. We want to encourage you in the dialogue. We encourage you to do so by calling 646-915-8166. Again, 646-915-8166.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I want to be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
You know, for every time that I listen to this song, it just helped me to affirm that not only is this song true for us here at the A New Day Show about serving you and adding value to your life. However, I know it is true for each and every person that has tuned into the show, either live or on archive or on iTunes, whatever way you're doing so. This song is so true for you. And before we get into the topic for discussion this morning, which is conquering the fear of risk. And as entrepreneurs, I know that is something that hit home for each and every one of us at different times of our career or business. However, before we get into that discussion this morning, I want to encourage you to call our cruise consultant, Mrs. Olinda Begg. We are putting together a cruise, or we have put together a cruise, leaving out of Barcelona. We are going to Rome, and we are going to France. And that cruise is going to be June the 15th of 2014. And our cruise consultant, Mrs. Olinda Begg, has put an amazing package together for us. So I want for you to call her. Her number is 203-539-0094 or 203 818-317-3174. And by calling that number, she will be giving you all the details that is pertaining to the cruise. You have 1 year to pay for it, and she will give you all the different options. I think the first payment for the payment plan is due towards the end of this month, May. So call her, 203-539-0094, 203-818-3174. And we're also looking for some volunteers to help us here on the A New Day show. I'm also looking for volunteers to help us in our nonprofit organization, the Empowering People Foundation, Inc. We are looking for some social media help. We're looking for graphics help. We're looking for development help. We just need volunteers all over. We also need some additional board members. So if you want to get more information about that, I want for you to call me at 203-794-6208. And I'll give you more information about the nonprofit. In the meantime, for those who want to donate, you can go to www.gofundme.com/1, the letter Q, the numeral 4, the letter M38, and you can donate from there. You can also do so by PayPal. And we are working as we speak on our website, and we are going to have that up live as soon as we possibly can. And right now, we are recruiting for the TV show, and we are doing training. So email me, dynamicdaphne1@gmail.com, if you're interested in any of the volunteering positions that we have available. So again, we are looking for your support. We need your help in all the things that we're doing. There's one more thing. If anyone knows of any apartment or house to be rented, email me at dynamicdaphne1@gmail.com. I have a very close associate who is looking for something, preferably in the New Milford area. So people, just reach out to me, and I, in turn, am reaching out to you to see how you can help us there. So let us get busy here, and let us start to talk about conquering the fear of risk. And as we continue with this discussion, I want to share some stories with you as I do that. There's one story I heard, it was kind of used as an icebreaker, where there is a professor. And every time he is at one of the Ivy League school, I think it was Princeton, he was a psychologist at Princeton University. And it is written that he said, this is what he says each time that he's getting ready to do a presentation. And it has to do with conquering the fear of risk. And this, his name is psychologist Daniel Kahneman, and it says that he always does this. He got a coin handy. Remember, this is at the beginning of his presentation, and he would ask his audience members, do you have a coin handy? Here's a proposition. Flip it. If it comes up heads, we'll send you $1,000. If it comes up tails, you write us a check for $500. Would you be willing to take that gamble? Probably not. Psychologist Daniel Kahneman from Princeton University often poses this question like this, and most people turn the gamble down, despite the fact that the odds were stacked up in their favor. People really don't like that gamble because they might lose. Dr. Kahneman says, our brains are programmed to worry sustainably about the possibilities of loss and not enough about the size of the loss relatively or gain. We would like to lose, period. We don't like to lose, period. Dr. Kahneman says, loss aversion, it is powerful psychologically, urge the causes people put far greater weight on losing than on winning. And that is so true, because even for us in business as entrepreneurs, I know that instead of us oftentimes focusing on the rewards of the risk, we tend to think, oh man, I'm not going to make it. I don't want to do this. What I know from personal experience is not that we need to avoid the risk. Instead, we need to understand the risk. Just like anything, last week I spoke about potential and all of that. And it's the same thing. We are not going to be able to manifest our potential if we don't understand what the potential is about. So instead of getting all fearful and flustered about the risk, why don't we take the time to understand the risk? And you're probably going to ask, how do we understand the risk? There are smart risks and there are non-smart risks. So I think the healthy thing to do is to focus on the risk that falls into the category of smart risk. So we go out there, we search and we seek and we find smart risk. When we look at smart risk and we look at the rewards, we notice that the rewards of a smart risk are going to be higher than the rewards of the non-smart risk. So here we go. We find ourselves, because we have made the decision to choose a small risk, we look and we say, well, this payoff is going to be much higher than the other payoff. So by saying that, that position and place us in a more comfortable high profit zone of the risk taking, if you may. Although we said there is a slight danger, but hey, look at the payoff. The payoff is going to be phenomenal. So we stay above the dead zone and we remove ourselves out of the comfort zone of just sitting. Because what happens? Once we sit in that comfort zone, we are operating in a low reward zone of the risk. And therefore, what happens then is that the fear holds us hostage and we are not able to move or make any high risk reward benefit. We don't get to benefit and take advantage from that. So My insight to you here is to understand the risk and position yourself in a high profit zone section of the risk taking. Find and identify a select and choose smart risk. And you just need to do your due diligence in searching for those risks that are smart, you know. You go there and you know, here is what is smart to me. Here is what it's going to do. It's going to be adding value here. It's going to be adding value there. And you weigh the pros and cons. What has happened most times over the years is that people keep talking to everybody else who does not understand about what it is they are looking to prepare themselves for. So I know from personal experience that once I identify the risk, I understand the risk, I make sure I am operating in smart risk. And what can happen? The worst that can happen is that instead of you freaking out about what's going to happen, because they are smart risk and you are operating in the high profit zone of that risk, whether you win 100% or 85% or 95%, the one amazing thing is that's going to happen is that you are going to be learning some valuable lessons from that. The other thing I want to say when we are working on conquering risk, we must shine a light into those dark sections of the risk. And, a lot of people can probably relate to this. You know that sometimes children, when it's time for them to go to bed, they don't want to go to bed in their room because they talk about the boogeyman is this or the boogeyman is under the bed and all of that. And it's the same thing as risk takers. We tend to see in our vision, we tend to see boogeymen in what we are doing. So, hey, you got to make sure you find the brightest light to shine on that boogeyman. It could be the boogeyman of failure. It could be the boogeyman of not having enough money. It could be the boogeyman of not having the support of your spouse, significant other, or family. Whatever the boogeyman is, you need to shine a light in that dark place. Because you know that light and darkness cannot operate in the same place. So if you know that thing is holding you hostage, you need to shine a light on it. And, you know, a lot of times it is going to be so, difficult, for want of a better word. It's going to be difficult for you to shine a light in those places. And it's going to be very uncomfortable too. But once you have made the decision that this darkness must go, I'm shining light. I don't have any place in my life to harbor or to board a boogeyman. So I'm shining light on you. You're going to have to go because I'm ready to let my light so shine. And, you know, there's absolutely no success without taking risks. If you talk to all the affluent, successful people in the world, whether they are people you know or people you admire from a distance, they will tell you that yes, we had to take risk. I want to share a story with you about you can't schedule invention. You can't schedule inventions. The values were the problem. The Boxer International engineers desperately wanted to shrink the size of the big dialysis machine so that the kidney failure patients could use them at home rather than in the hospital. That meant finding ways to shrink the size and complexity of the valves and tubing and the electrical motors that drove them. But when you are working with machinery that is moving toxin from the blood and organs of someone attached to the machine, you don't take any chances. The valves have to work correctly and safely to ensure they did. They had to be big and complicated. Boxer had been an early player in the field of hemodialysis, a process that literally saved the lives of hundreds of thousands of kidney failure patients. 3 times a week, 4 hours a time, the patients sat tethered to hulking machines that drew blood from their bodies, cleanse it of toxin that would otherwise kill them, and return it. The process saved lives, but it took physical and psychological toll. Patients felt good for several hours after they completed a treatment, but as the toxin accumulated again, they became fatigued, nauseous, and develop headaches, and significant number each year make a fatal decision to give up the treatment. However, over the years, hemodialysis had become a commodity business, with dialysis centers set up in strip malls, and Boxer had gradually withdrawn from the market. But during the 1980s, Boxer scientists developed a better way to treat kidney failure patients through a process called peritoneal dialysis. Each day, a patient could spend 6 or more hours lying down as a machine filled with abdomen with dialysis fluid, which absorbed the deadly toxin, then drained the fluid back out. The daily treatment kept the levels of toxin in the body lower, so the patient felt better. Boxer had made some headway in persuading neurologists to use peritoneal dialysis rather than hemodialysis in hospitals settings that would accommodate Boxer's big machines. But the key to making peritoneal dialysis more popular and useful, Boxer believed, was to develop a machine that a patient could use at home while sleeping each night. Yet, after many attempts, Baxter's effort to make a reliable home machine were stipend by the seemingly intractable valve problem. Finally, Baxter CEO Lern Lorks told the engineers to take the problem to Dean Carmen and his DEKA Research and Development Corporation. Carmen was no stranger to Baxter's. Instead of attending classes as a college freshman, he spent his days inventing new syringe pump and could automatically inject a drug over a period of time while the patient sat in a hospital bed. Carmen's auto syringe was a huge success. It allowed chemotherapy and other patients whose heavy-duty drugs needed to be slowly infused into their bodies to receive the infections automatically, saving nurses and doctors thousands of hours shuckling among hospital rooms, injecting small doses of medicine every few minutes. Baxter brought Carmen's startup company, turning him into a multimillionaire at the age of 30 and laying the foundation for the DEKA, the cutting-edge laboratory in New Hampshire. Carmen isn't afar to take on some of the world's great engineering challenge, but DEKA usually mistakes such very expensive projects with a deep-pocketed partner who can afford the multi-million dollar cost of searching for the development innovation solutions. Neither Carmen nor DEK have that kind of money. So it seems like just another huge technological challenge when Baxter came calling. The Baxter engineers told Carmen that the problem was the valves. They just couldn't make them simpler, cheaper, and more reliable. Could he solve that problem? Each and every valve had 70 or 80 parts, motors, springs, and levers. Because if it fails, you have to be sure it fails shut. So it had to have a clutch to release it as it closes. Recalls Carmen, I thought to myself, whoa, this thing is complicated. And there were several of them in every machine. They are noisy and they're heavy. They said to us, solve our problem. We need better valves. Carmen's first inclination was to walk away from the project. I'm looking at this for a few days and I am starting to think we don't need to be spending time on this. They have spent a lot of time evolving this solution and it probably And it is probably about as good as it's going to get. I doubt we can do any better. And even if we can, it's going to be an insurmountable solution, because there will still be several of these things that they are still going to need motors. I've still got this big machine. But before telling Baxter he couldn't solve the problem, Carmen thought about it some more. Sure, the valves were the root of some of the problems, but there was a more important principle at work. What a person needed, Carmen thought, was a machine that was very small, highly reliable, and extremely easy to use. If the EKA uses Baxter's money to support, could invent a new kind of device with a disposable cartridge that was much smaller, it would then shrink the size overall of the machine to the fraction of the size of Baxter's hospital machines. It was possible to envision a patient simply pressing a button upon going to bed so that the dialysis process took place while the patient slept. Patients might even be able to travel as short as soon as they wish, because they could fit that device under the plane seats. Such a breakthrough machine could give people with kidney failure much greater freedom to live their lives. We went back to Baxter and said, your solution to the problem is to fix the valves. But we think that it's a real problem, Carmen said. What the patient needs is a simple machine the size of a VCR with a disposable carriage that can sit next to the bed. If you reinstate that as a problem, I would take less time and money to design a new system to solve the problem that I have tried to fix. A system you have been refining for more than a decade. How long would it take and how much more it costs? A couple of years and a few million dollars, Carmen said. Lorx took his managers. It was a worthwhile risk. If the new device succeeded, the project would yield sizable revenues and have the potential to significantly improve thousands of lives. So see, I had mentioned prior to sharing this story about choosing a smart risk. Over the next few years, Carmen and his engineer team work feverishly, spending millions of Baxter's dollars trying to make a portable peritoneal dialysis machine. They invented a system that used a smaller air compressor to control tiny pneumatic valves and members pumps develop new technologies for yielding together thin plastic materials and figure out a way to non-invasively measure the safety move valves of liquid through the patient. Altogether, the engineers had to come up with many different inventions from scratch. Finally, all of the allocated money was spent on Baxter's deadline. Rolled around. Then came the ultimate blow. The EK prototype didn't work. Talk about risk. The frustrated Baxter team called a halt to the project. Carman recalled his summary judgment. You said it would take this amount of time. You said it would take this amount of money. We gave you that amount of time. We gave you that amount of money. You are not even close. Baxter didn't believe the technology would work. Wrong, Carman argued that DEKA was close. The fundamental problem had been solved. Granted, it was taking longer and costing more money. But that's the nature of invention. You can't schedule inventions, Carmen said. But at the point we have made them, it had become just a matter of implementing good focus engineering. But Baxter was adamant. There would be no future funding for the portable and dialysis machine. Now that losing Baxter's scholarship was a heavy blow, Carmen would either have to kill the project or find another way to continue financing it. But would he find another sponsor? Would the project have to be shelved until someone with money came along to rescue it? There was one other alternative. Carmen would help finance it in himself, but could be mustered in the money to do that. Should he break his business model and call in for deep pocket partners? Carmen thought about that was a stake. The inventors necessary for the portable machine to work now exist. Unlike Baxter, he knew each of the engineers on the team and had full confidence that they knew how close they were to moving from breakthroughs to a complete working prototype. DEK had done many successful prototypes of other products, and that was really all that was left to do with the analysis machine. And when the device was completed, not if, there was no if involved at this point. Carmen knew thousands of people would have a new lease on life. And there was no problem. The portable device, machine would be in demand by patients. If Boxer didn't want it, other medical device company would. Based on his intimate knowledge of what his team had accomplished so far and on what he knew would be a strong demand of the result of the machine. Carmen committed to going ahead and using his own money. It was hard to come up with the money, but it wasn't a hard decision to make. Carmen says, if the stuff he had invented still hadn't been invented at that point, then I might have said it's not possible based on the current state of technology. The kill to kill it. But I was sitting there with some prototypes saying, I know it doesn't look like a finished product, but we have created all these technologies and now we just have to figure out how to box them up and make an awesome little machine. Carmen told Boxer he intended to push ahead on the dialysis project. If it works, he said, he would bring it to Boxer first. And the rest of his story goes, because the company originally had faith in him, which is what is very important if we are going to conquer fear. Not only do we have to have faith in what we're doing, however, it is important to have somebody else have faith and believe in what we are doing. Yeah, so it says because the company had faith in him and had funded the most difficult part of the project, if Baxter didn't want it to at that point, he would take it somewhere else. It took millions more. And back then, that was a lot of money, Carmen said. I never put the company on my family at risk. That would have been irresponsible. I use royalties from other projects. I quit buying some things I would have liked to buy. I stopped putting money in war chests and fund other interesting things. And we didn't have great bonuses that year, but I believe that people needed and deserve this technology, that it would be a good thing to do. Wow. Talking about valuable risk. Woo! Finally, the prototype was finished and Carmen sponsored re-engaging. Boxer took the new portable dialysis machine to the year's biggest nephrology conference, where it was displayed at their booth. At first, the doctors who drifted by thought it was merely the control package for Baxter's existing perineal dialysis machine. When they learned that it was the entire machine, they were awestruck. Boxer was quickly swamped with others on the Home Choice perennial dialysis machine because a roaring success. Carmen, who owned many patents on the technology, received a high royalty than they would have received had Boxer continued its full support of the machine. Boxer had concerns about the project because the company feared the perceived risk of going forward. Carmen put his own money into the project because he knew the real risk of continuing where very little, and that the potential reward would be very great. By finding a smart risk on investment, investing his own money, Carmen repeated rewards that others had left behind. More important, thousands of lives had been improved because of this result. Yes, I know it took a long time for me to share that story with you, but that's what I am talking about when I mention about finding smart risk. And I think that that's a great example of what a smart risk is. And despite the fact that it costs a lot of money, because the engineer believed in what he was working on, he was able to risk smartly his own money. He mentioned about did not place his family in any jeopardy. However, he had other things that he was collecting royalties from, and he invest those in his dream and his vision to manifest something that works. When we are working on conquering the fear of risk, we must focus on removing all of the emotional things out of what we are working on. Because sometimes when we focus on the emotional aspect of everything, it messes us up, because what we are hearing in our heads is that nobody has ever done it. You can't do it. You're not good enough. You don't have the money. You don't have the resource. You don't. So remove all the emotional aspects out of it so that you can begin to focus on the true heart of what you are working on. Here are a few rules for conquering fear, conquering the risk, the fear of risk. You know, in life, every person looks for the sweet spot. That situation in which risks are low and rewards are high. The trouble is, when an obvious situation like that arises, everyone rushes to it. The result, the rewards are diluted and the risk rises. It is much better to spend time and make the effort to investigate in what appear to be high risk, high reward situation. If that was what they really are, you can always back off. But if your investigation reveals that the risk ain't nearly as high as they seem, yet the rewards are still there. You can profit from an opportunity everyone else fails to see. The first rule in conquering the fear of risk is identify what really drives the risk. So remember, we spoke about choosing profitable risk. So now you have made, you have developed or created your list of the risk that you're going to focus on, whether it has to do with investment or invention, whatever. You must identify what really drives the risk, what will get it propelling. In that invention we spoke about, they were talking about the changing people's lives and helping them to be able to use the machine at home. They were not thinking that, oh, we put so much money and so much time in this thing and it hasn't worked. They became creative in finding out what really drives the risk. And by doing so, they were able to deliver. Because they kept, what was happening is that they kept their eyes on the prize. They know that there were people who will enjoy using this at home, and it was going to add value to their lives all over. It was going to cut down on traveling and all of that. So once the thing worked, they were not going to be shelved. They are going to be in the homes of patients who needed to use them. So they find out the advantages of what drive the risk. Rule number two, reward people for taking risk. So remember that company spoke about not investing any more money because the engineers asked for a certain amount of time and then they asked for a certain amount of money, which they had exceeded both the time and the money that was allotted them. So how do we continue on here? You know, why should we continue? Are there any benefits? However, when you reward people of taking smart risk, they are going to be more encouraged to working. Once you begin to reward people, it becomes a team effort versus an individual effort. Once people are working on a team and you reward them, it's going to like trickle down and they are going to begin to reward their team members. And that is going to be a win-win, both for you and for the rest of the team and for the organization. Test the waters before taking a plunge is rule number three in conquering the fear of risk. Test the waters before you take a plunge. Find ways of volunteering for whatever it is that you are going to be taking the risk in. Once you begin to test the waters, what that is actually doing, it is like it is training you without you having to come up with the cost of training. It is preparing you for when you decide that you want to go in and really take a deep plunge. And this testing of the water might also mean that you begin to work with a mentor. You could be working with a coach. You could be honing in and narrowing down all the things that you need to do and to begin to focus on. So you develop a list of things that will help you to test the waters. Talk to people. Ask for help. Explain to people what you're doing and find out if whether or not anyone has ever done what you're doing, and share ideas with them and said, here is what I'm doing. Any insight you have for me, anything that you have learned that I have not yet learned. So that's a good way to test the waters before you take the plunge. Rule number four, create a risk-tolerant environment. So not only the executives get to take risk, the subordinate and regular staff are encouraged to take the risk too. And what is going to happen is that you will find out that because of you allowing everyone to participate in this endeavor, people are going to be up to just stepping out and volunteering onto risk project. So you are going to have to create that kind of an environment. Whether you are in charge of doing it or not, you would identify with the person who is in charge and make sure it is a risk tolerant, friendly environment. Risk. Rule number five. Ask what would it take? And that's a straightforward question. You have to identify in what area, what you are looking for. So you're going to design this question based on what your needs are. Ask what would it take? And that's a broad statement that can mean a number of things. So you ask, and know that there are no foolish questions. So, we're going to, again, rule number five is ask what it would take. Rule number four, create a risk-tolerant environment. Rule number three, test the waters before you take the plunge. Rule number two, reward people for taking risk. And rule number one, identify what really drives the risk. So that's a great insight that will help you to conquer the fear of risk taking. You got to make your vision clear. Your purpose, your calling, your vision. You are going to have to make it clear, because the clearer it is, the more focused it is going to have you to be. You are going to be looking at, here is what I have been doing. And yes, my first two businesses didn't work, and I'm really getting anxious about this other business that I'm doing. So what do I do? So you make sure you have some understanding about what your vision and mission is in life. You know, what business you want to go in. What demographics are you looking to serve? And as you look on those aspects of what you are doing, it's like the risk begins to to be lessened. It's not as intensified. It keep getting less and less and less intense. So you can just focus on building that. I know for me, when I focus on the goals that I am working on, regardless of the obstacles and everything, I do not get fearful about what I'm doing because it excites me where I'm going and what I'm looking to do. It really excites me to go on. So clarity of vision and purpose is very important when you are looking to conquer fear. Because when you begin to build on your balance and your focus, you're going to like create an inventory of all the things that you have already encountered and conquered. Not to dwell on them, but to help alleviate the risk of saying, oh, I can't do that and I can't do that and I am too fearful. What they say, feel the fear and do it anyhow. So you said, yeah, I know what you're saying, Head, and I know you're playing games on me. However, with my relationship, and I have the backing of the mighty one, I have the backing, better backing than you can ever offer me. There is no reason for me to be fearful, but to be stepping out and just doing that which I believe in. So, at this time, I would like to give you a word from our sponsor, because this segment that is coming up, the second half of the show, is brought to you by AMD Law Group.
AMD Law Group is an international law practice committed to assisting you in realizing your strategic business goals. Led by Ms. Aurelia Mitchell-Durant, Senior Managing Partner, AMD Law specializes in international business, international intellectual property, and general internet law. We also support organizations in resolving corporate compliance issues. Addressing the legal needs of technology firms and other businesses serving both domestic and international markets, we are uniquely positioned to assist both startups and long-established organizations. Although AMD seeks to proactively avoid litigation wherever possible, we are fully capable and ready to litigate on your behalf. AMD Law Group. Find us online at amdlawgroup.com or contact us at 347-699-4AMD. That's 347-699-4263. Let us help you pursue and protect your dreams.
All right, so check out AMD Law Group so you can put your stuff in order. All right, and again, I want to remind you the cruise is coming up on June the 15th, 2014. You have a full year to begin to pay for your cruise. And yes, we are sailing out of Barcelona. We are going to be on the Norwegian Epic Cruise Line. I hear that, oh, that ship is out of the world. I tell you, cruises are the best vacation you could have. For those of you who are party animals, you wake up and you can be partying from breakfast down until you go to bed at night. So I want you to reach out and call my cruise consultant, Mrs. Olinda, OlindaBegg. Her number is 203-539-0094 or 203-818-3174. Again, Olinda Begg, 203 503-9049-203-818-3174. And when you call it, tell her you just call in to talk about the cruise for June the 14th, going to Europe on the Norwegian Epic. So I look forward to meeting you on that cruise. We are going to be doing a one-day speaking. The one day we are at sea, we are going to be speaking. And then when we get into all the different ports, we are just going to be having a wonderful time. And when you call her up, she will give you all the details pertaining to the cruise. So again, her number is 203-539-0094, 203-818-3174. So reach out and let us see you on the cruise. Yes, I want to continue the conversation on conquering the fear of risk. We mentioned about the importance of using and selecting smart risk. And one of the things I am telling you, for every time I go out on the limb and I overcome my fear and I step forward towards that risk-taking endeavor, I tell you, I get so energized. It's like I plug myself into the electric power and I just got recharged. Because once you believe in what you're doing and you go out there and you take the risk of doing it and it manifests, you feel blessed, you feel honored, you feel rewarded. All of those things, all of those emotions, you begin to go into, and all those feelings. And you say, well, here I am. If I had not stepped out, I would not be able to accomplish this. I have been. I have to ask that you all excuse me. I have been neglecting the chat room. And for all of you in the chat room, I just noticed that 320 just joined the chat room. Welcome to the chat. And call in. Let me hear from you. How have you been dealing with, you know, conquering the fear of risk-taking? Because you don't know. You save up some money and something is happening now where you have to go take it out. And you don't want to do that. So how are you doing it? So let me hear from you. 646-915-8166. Call and share your ideas with me about how you are conquering the fear of risk taking. You know, I always think to myself, if I don't do this thing, what is going to happen? And then I quickly tell myself, well, I don't have anything to lose. So I'm giving it everything I have. And I know that the reason that I'm able to do this is because of my strong faith. I know that although the natural eyes sees me as a solo person standing there taking that action and doing that thing, however, I know that I have an entourage of support around me because I do my best in operating always into my calling and purpose. So I know that once I do that, then there's no way that I'm going to fail because I'm not doing what I want to do, but I'm doing what I'm called to do. So once you focus on what you're called to do, then you don't have to say I'm taking any risk because you know that you're ordered by your steps. You're ordered to take action. And it's like you say, well, look back to when you were a child. And your parents say, you go and do that. You don't argue with your parents. You're not saying, oh, well, I'm afraid, I'm not going. You just step out and you go and do it. Well, it's the same thing now that you have become a grown-up and an adult, and you become an entrepreneur and a business person. You are stepping out because daddy orders you and say, listen, I want you to go to Africa. And I want you to go and speak at this place. I want you to create this thing. I know I have a friend over in Connecticut here, and he invented a concoction, some trapping thing for his garage. And he invented it, and a lot of times his wife say, oh, he invented this thing and it's not sold yet. But I said to her, don't worry about it, because the right person will be making that call to him and to pay into that. So it's our obedience must overpower our fear. So once we know that, okay, I don't know when this is going to manifest like my friend. Yes, he doesn't have an order for it yet. However, I know my name, that there is someone that is going to call him up, and that product is going to be in the hands of people all around the world to use in their garage. So know that whatever you're stepping out to take the risk on, it must be divinely instituted. Must be. So it simply means that when I say must be divinely implemented, is that it must come from your spiritual authentic self. So it cannot be about you, because we as people, we are always going to make the wrong decision once we go out there and just want to do things by ourselves. We have no control. We must have a relationship with our Creator, which is our source. And once we get our ego out of the way, we will always be on the right track, and we won't have to be fearful to say, oh boy, I can't take this risk, and I don't want to lose, and I don't want to die. If you look on, a lot of the times you go to the gas station, and I'm always, I don't know if it's a blessing or just an insight, but I'm always behind people who are buying a lot of lottery tickets, and they know everything, and they go and they roll off their tongues what they want to purchase. And the attendant at the gas station always say to them, oh, you're not getting any this today and that today. And I say to myself, boy, they are regular. And they come, and I'm thinking, they probably have been doing this for a long time. And I don't know whether or not they're winning, but they're not looking at the risk of losing their money. They come, whether they're addicted to it or whatever, but they come religiously every day and they purchase those lottery tickets. So I'm thinking, the same consistent and commitment that people tend to have in those gambling opportunities, if we would focus and concentrate on our Creator and just horn into those things that He has called us to do, we would be better off. Because like a lot of times we read about people who win those millions of dollars, and before you snap your finger, they are broke again because they have no proper plan of managing that money. So That's an insight for us to know that don't look on the worldly things. Keep our eyes on the prize, and then you're going to know we don't have to be fearful. I say to myself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you might be listening to me today, and you might not be a believer, you might not be a Christian and all of that. But you got to tell yourself, I can do all things with the help of God. There are times when you got to go and you get the support of mentors and everything. Because being an entrepreneur, being a business owner, whether you're small or large, it is not easy. And if we are not surrounded around the right people, fear is going to paralyze us. So we must be in the right environment. We must create healthy environment in which to prosper. Reach out. Invest in ourselves. Read. Listen to tapes. Watch DVDs. Listen to music. Whatever it takes to empower you and encourage you. However, I know that the fear of risk will paralyze you if you isolate yourself from others. So do your research, find healthy communities that you can participate in. It might be going to network gatherings. It could be at your place of worship. You find a few people there that share your thoughts, and you can brainstorm with each other and find out, how can I encourage you and how can you encourage me? This past Sunday, I went to church and I stopped in the bookstore, and the lady in the bookstore, whom I have known for many years, called me the name of somebody else. And I said, huh? And she said, oh my God, I ought to know better than that. And because I even know you before that person. And we began, I waited until all her customers left, and she and I began talking. And I was telling her about some of the new projects that I am working on. And she said to me, you know, I always admire you. And she apologized that we have not been speaking regularly on the phone. But she says, I hold you dear in my heart every day. And whether we speak or not, I always pray for you. And I'm always connected with you. And she brought up an instant when I spoke at a place where she was present. And she mentioned some of the context of the things I spoke about. And it encouraged her, even through some challenging times that she went through. And it's the same thing for me, and I know it may be the same thing for you, that you can draw on past experiences that will help you to conquer that fear now that is trying to anchor your feet. You're trying to move, and it's like your feet is cemented down. Look through your life and see what has happened over the years that you were able to catapult from those dark dungeon places in your life. You deserve the best. And although it might be challenging for you to begin to experience the best, but you cannot give up hope. You must have the faith to know that. So long as I continue believing in that which I'm called to do, better days are going to be coming. Better days are going to be coming. I get up every day and I tell myself there is somebody that I need to make a difference in their lives today. So each and every day when I go out my door, my goal and my aim is to find somebody else to make a difference in their lives. And I have found out that when I keep myself busy doing that, I really and truly don't have any time to be fearful about what I'm doing. 2 weeks ago, I was blessed to attend a conference in New York City, a conference where 1,500 plus women sat in a room. It was the conference of the, it was the national conference of the National Association of Professional Women. And I must tell you, this was my first encounter where I was able to sit in a room with 1,500 plus women. The only men were in the room were the servers and the production crew. Every other person who officiates and everything else, participants, were all women. And I came back and it has been an eye-opener for me. I spoke with women who were going through challenging times, yet they pushed through to be at that conference. One woman who was in her late 60s, this was her, she came in from California. This was her second time in her life to be in New York City. She came there when she was a child and she was back there. But regardless of everything else that was kind of popping its ugly head up to tell the women that I spoke to that, oh, you're not good enough, you're not this enough, you're not the other. By them coming there and witnessing the presence of all those women and to see the power of that organization, they were able to say, I know that I can succeed in whatever I do. There were women leaving there and said, you know, I have idea for a book. Now I'm going to go there. I'm going to reach out for help to write my book. There were women who had gone to design schools and have things in their minds. They look out and they say, no, I don't have to be fearful. I can go there. I can take the risk because I have this association behind me. I have 400 chapters of women who can support me. So if you refuse to take action in order to conquer that fear that is holding you hostage, it's because you don't want to. You really don't want to get out of there. You are comfortable. Instead of choosing correct risk, you decide, oh no, I don't want to rock the boat, so I'm comfortable. I am sitting here. I can speak for women to let you know that there are opportunities out there for us to get the help and the support that we need. However, the only way that we are going to get that support we need in our businesses, regardless of whether you're a product business or you're a service business, the only way we will get the support is to go out and ask others for help. So reach out. Ask for help. When you get no, don't be discouraged. Just continue. Get excited about the no's that you get. And know that, well, I'm going to be getting a yes very soon. It's just so excited that you just keep bubbly and you keep going. Knowing that if you get enough no's, you know your yes is right around the corner. I tell you, a lot of women are not succeeding in their endeavors simply because they refuse to ask for help and they refuse to invest in themselves. Meaning, buy books, go to conferences, go to webinars, buy tapes, buy CDs, buy DVDs. Invest in yourself. There might be a course you want to take. You go out and you sign up for that course and you take that course knowing that it is going to enhance your capability to do what you are doing. The other thing we can do to conquer the risk, the conquer the fear of risk, is to partner with others. I know that the days of lone rangership is gone, and you don't need to be fearful about bringing someone into what you're doing. Everybody say, oh, it's my idea. I don't want somebody to steal my idea. Well, we just gave you the choice in making sure that doesn't happen. And that's why we partner with AMD Law Group on this radio show, where they are going to be able to help you to protect your idea. So before you bring somebody on board, you make sure your idea is protected, and then you kind of figure out how you are going to bring them on board to be part of what you're doing. And as a matter of fact, next Wednesday's episode, we are going to have one of the attorneys on giving us tips again. Remember, 2 weeks ago, they gave us tips about internet law. So the only way for us to grow is to partner with others. I know a lot of us, we are not stepping out, and a lot of what I speak about is a word for me as well. It's not just for you, my listeners. A lot of us, because we have been bitten in the past, we are not receptive and open to partnering with others. But take caution, but move forward. Because with the opportunities now that is available to us outside of our local zip code, we can only capture that by partnering. And the internet gives us access to partner with people wherever they are over the world. So pray about it, work on yourself, and let go of the fear of saying, I can't partner with people, I'm not good enough. The other thing I know that holds, that allow fear to hold us hostage, is the idea that I can only work with people that looks like me. It might be ethnicity, it might be gender, it might be culture. Hello! Wake up and smell the roses. Because a lot of times, I'm telling you, and I'm going to be very vulnerable right now. A lot of times, if you wait only to partner and do business with people that look like you, you are not going to be able to buy a cup of tea. So just reach out there. The important thing to do is to find people who support your work and who will stand by you in doing what you're doing. They are people of quality, and you are a person of quality. So you go in with trust and respect and honesty, and that is going to be what you build that relationship on. So there are so much mindset that we have to get rid of, and we have to be more creative now in having a paradigm shift in our minds. And knowing that we got to be open and receptive and to be embracing other people. Sometimes it has to do with our religious and spiritual beliefs too. Oh, you go to that church and that church, I can't do business with you. Oh, you're not saved, you're not this, you're not the other. Hello? Sometimes we get too religious about everything. And that's why we can't succeed. But if we would break those barriers down, then we would not have to be held hostage with the fear of, oh, that person is out to get me and that person is going to be doing wrong to me and that person is going to be doing that to me. I was speaking with a colleague a few months ago and she went to an event and she went with some more people. And she was sharing that some of the people that was in her group that she went with, they came back from that event and they are rolling in big contracts. And I asked her, why aren't you rolling in then? What are they doing that you have not been doing? And she said, oh, that so-and-so woman is so she was cussing too much at that event. And I said, did she give any good information? Oh, yes, lots of good information. So I said, why are you giving energy to the cussing instead of giving energy to utilizing and embracing the good information that she gave you? And the other people in her group did exactly that. Because if they are pulling in large contracts, it simply means they are working what they got at that conference. They are working it and making sure they get their value out of it. Instead of her worrying about the woman cussing and all of that. If cussing is not your thing, then don't curse. You know, get the principle, bless it. And use it. Even ideas that came out of the mouth of non-saved people, bless it and ask God to show you the insight in how to use it. I was listening to a speaker the other day, and he was talking about people who are vegetarian and people who eat meat and everything, and he said, everything is dirt. Everything came from dirt. So if you like certain type of dirt, he said, eat your dirt and leave my dirt alone. He said, I'm blessing my dirt and I'm eating it. I'm not interfering with your dirt and I respect you for your dirt. And it's the same thing here as entrepreneur and small business people. Don't get all caught up in somebody else's personality. If they are successful, that means they're doing something right. Assess and evaluate what they are doing that is workable and begin to adopt those principles and use them in your business. Do not become too critical, because we become very critical and judgmental. And that's another thing that will keep us in the fear of the risk, because that person is cursing, although they give us good ideas in how to build our business. I don't think I'm going to be ever blessed with what, because she costs too much. No, don't be judgmental and don't be fearful to use somebody's idea who has proved to you that this idea works. We must lighten up. I know, especially as Christians, you know, a lot of us keep saying that we trust God and all of that. But sometimes I said, you know something, do we really trust God? And that's a question, because, you know, we keep going to him with the same problems and everything, and even when he give us insight in what to do, we're still not doing it. So, do we really trust him? Because if we trust him, we will let go of all these fears and we would go out there and make the right choices for healthy risk. And we go out there and build on what he has called us to be. Again, I encourage you to call in, and for those in the chat room, type your question if you have a question, or type your insight into this topic. For those who want to call in, the number to call is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. This was not part of what I thought, but it just came to my mind to talk about, is that another way that you can conquer the fear of risk is to create a vision board of what the risks are and what the fear are, and just use the vision board to recreate those things. And you focus on that. When you create the vision board, you're not concentrating on what the fears, but you're concentrating and focusing on the results. Here is what I do to make sure I overcome XYZ. I'm going to read this book that tells me how to control this behavior. I'm going to listen to this tape or DVD, whatever, our programs, whatever. Here is what I do, I'm supposed to do to offset that. You move to the next one. This is what I have in place that is helping me with this. Here is who I'm going to call to help me with this. I know that they have been there, done that. And now I can shorten my learning curve by approaching them and asking them to do this. So, you know, that's something else. And what that is going to be doing, it gives you a visual to guide you along the way and to help you to manifest that which you deserve to manifest. So a lot of times, you know, each and every day is a learning experience. And we can only grow from those experiences if we take the time to acknowledge and embrace the lesson that was set out for us to learn. You know, we are accustomed to be pushing stuff under the rug. Let us commit to ourselves saying, I'm no longer going to be pushing stuff under the rug because I deserve all that is good for me. I deserve all that my Father says that I am supposed to have. And nothing, absolutely nothing, will prevent me from taking advantage of all of this. I am successful. I am wealthy. I am healthy. I am powerful. I am a world leader. I am touching the lives of women, children, girls, families, corporations, small businesses, large businesses, nonprofits. Whatever it is you affirm, you must see yourself in those positions. And although such struggles I'm experiencing in my life right now, this too shall pass, because no weapon formed against me will prosper. I am called by many nations to spread the word from the message of encouragement and hope for others. You know, I'm saying this for my life, and I want you to create your statement that is true for your life. You might be a pastry cook. You says, I know that I am shipping my pastries overseas to many countries. I am doing my pastry frozen to ship so that when organization and institution bakes them, they get it fresh as if it is just coming out of my kitchen. I know what the fear is telling you, that you're only making 1 pound cake, but that's a lie. You can go out there and you can create more, but you have to have the strength to tell that fear that you are a liar. You are not going to rob me of this magnificent growth that I'm on. I'm on the path for greatness. You might be writing cookbooks. Whatever it is you are doing, you got to get out from behind the fear and go out there and make things happen for you. It can happen. The only thing that can prevent it is if you make the decision to say, oh, I'm quitting. I'm not going to do it anymore. This is too hard. You know, I'm doing this and I can't make it. I can't make ends meet. I can't this. Logical, this can work. Yes, a lot of times, logically, nothing works. But there are a lot of times when we got to not focus on logic and just step out there, feel the fear, and do it anyhow. And for every time you step out there and do that, you are going to be a winner. You're going to feel good about yourself. You are going to be the one that is encouraging others. You're going to be the one telling people that, oh my God, you should have seen me a couple weeks ago, or a couple months ago, or a few years ago. Oh, look at me now. Girl, if I can do it, you can do it. Boy, if I can do it, you can do it. You ain't seen nothing yet. Here is what I went through to be where I am today. So your story that you are sharing with me is nothing in comparison to what I have gone through. And I'm telling you, here are the steps that brought me to where I am. And you will encourage somebody by sharing your story with them. It is important for us to let people know that we are only victorious because we decided that there's no room in our life for us to entertain being a victim. We are only victorious because there's no room in our lives to be a victim. And once you make that proclamation on yourself that I am a victor, not a victim, you just need to tell yourself that all the time. So when when an opportunity comes your way, and oh, you look and say, oh Lord, that's a big risk for me to do, boy, you can quickly say, I am a victor, not a victim. So it doesn't matter how profound this risk looks. It doesn't matter how much fear is coming up. My heart is racing and all of that. I am a victor, not a victim. And I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to do what I can do to get the right result for me. So, again, I just hope and pray that today you will understand the importance of just conquering the fear. Oh, I want to welcome my colleague, Doc Vaj. I know that she is another powerful woman who has not allowed fear in any way to conquer her. And we have 14 minutes, my sister. If you want to contribute to the conversation, I've been talking about conquering the fear of taking risk. I don't know if you want to contribute. If you want to contribute, you're welcome. We have 14 minutes remaining. Because I know that you have stepped out and have took many risks over your lifetime and have been making a difference. So you are welcome to be part of the conversation. As usual, you can call in if you want. The number is 646-915-8166. So there it is. That's just a regular supporter and a colleague of mine that just came into the chat room. Thank you for the love, my sister. So regardless of what you're going through, I can tell you that once you focus on smart risk, the reward is going to be outweighing all of the fear that you were experiencing before you go out there and take the risk. And as an entrepreneur and small business person, a lot of times when you're set out to take that risk, you're not going to have any support. But I'm here to tell you, it is all right. It is all right. Because you are your own advocate and supporter. And you must believe in you and your capabilities. So don't give up on an opportunity because you think nobody told you it was the right thing to do and nobody support you. You just need to listen to your heart and follow your heart and do what your heart tells you is best for you. And encourage others because it is by sharing our experiences that we encourage others to go out there and be bold. Take bold steps. As women, we are a strong species. We are powerful. We are called to do great things. But we sit down and a lot of times we are looking for people's permission to be who we were called to be. And we don't really need anybody permission. We just need to go there and know our potential and continue to working in that potential and continue going out there and doing. Because you know something? Each and every one of us has so much untapped success in our lives that we allow fear from helping us to experience those successes. So, I encourage you to take an inventory of yourself. Look yourself in the mirror and said, you have been holding you back long enough. Today, I'm giving you the permission to go out there and soar. Do not allow any fear to hold you back. Yes, there are smart, valuable, calculated risks that you can go out there and take. Know that your future is in your hands and you have the power to go out there and manifest all of those great things that you are called to do. Do not exit out of this world without all of your music being played. Do not exit out of this world without your books being written. Do not exit out of this world before you design or architect or build those buildings. Do not exit out of this world until you travel the corners of the globe that you are supposed to travel. There are people, there are lives that are waiting on you. Don't sit down and play mediocre because you think somebody don't like you or somebody don't believe in you. That's the risk you must take. You got to step out and be bold. Know that the globe is your platform. So go out there and make things happen. You have so much to give. However, Because you are so fearful, you're sitting down and say, oh, I'm just right here in this little part of the U.S. or wherever you listen from, and nobody's going to listen to me. Oh, I'm not prominent. I'm not this. I'm not that. That is a lie that you are telling yourself. You are powerful, and you are called to do great and mighty things. So I want for you to get out there and go out there and make something happen. Remember, I encourage you to create that vision board with the plan that is going to help you to conquer the fear of risk taking. And again, I want to get this little bit of information in. We are doing the cruise. June of 2014, on the 15th of June 2014, we are sailing from Barcelona. We're going to Rome. We're going to France. We're going to lots of different places. I want you to call the cruise consultant, Mrs. Olinda Begg, and her numbers are 203-539-0094. 203-818-3174. Again, Olinda Begg, 203-539-0094, 203-818-3174. Call her up and she will give you all the details about the payment plan for the cruise. You have a full year around about 11 months in which to pay for it, so it's not a strain on your purse. And for those of you who are interested in supporting the breakfast feeding program at my old school in Jamaica, I want you to visit www.gofundme.com/1, the letter G, the numeral 4, the letter M, and the numeral 3 and 8. Every dollar that you can give us will help us to feed a child. So I'm depending on you. My goal is to launch the breakfast feeding program at the next school year. I want to welcome guests 903 to the show. I'm going to encourage you to catch the archive, because we are down to the last 6 minutes of the show. Again, I thank Doc Vaj for coming on, guest 903, guest 320, and all the others who are listening online. I thank you for your continued support. If you have a story you want to tell, reach out to me and let's see if we are match and how we can get you on here. If you are looking to advertise and promote your business, I want you to call me at 203-794-6208. And we'll talk about how we can get your business out here before my 95,000 supporters. So again, I pray that this conversation was stimulating in some way. And if it's even one nugget that you have gotten out of it, my time would have been well invested. Again, you're called for a purpose in this world. Do not allow anything or anyone to dampen that which you are called to do. Go out there, forge relationships. Find others that will support you in manifesting your calling, your purpose, and your vision. If you have not, it's because you ask not and you do not touch the basis to ignite relationship. Remember that the power of your net worth is also going to be totally dependent on the power of your network. So let us go out there and make things happen. I will see you again on Sunday, and I'll see you again next Wednesday. And next Wednesday, we are going to have we're going to have our attorney to come on and give us the third Wednesday of every month. We have the attorney come on and give us a little legal advice. Last 2 weeks ago, they spoke about internet law and some of the things that we need to have implemented when we are doing business on the internet. So, again, I thank you, Doc Vaj. Thank everybody who is listening and supporting us. And go out there, get rid of fear, take some risk, and I look forward to you sharing your stories with me in the near future. Follow your destiny. So long.
Call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the place that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody. You're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations.